Welcome, the viewers, to the segment of your show. Like I said in the intro, my guests today are Michael and Carol Cassidy. Michael, from our last time he was here, you know him to be the founder of African Enterprise, the evangelistic movement that works all across Africa, and also a Christian statement. But we're not just talking about Michael today. We have the pleasure of having Carol Cassidy, his wife, with us. Carol, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael and Carol, for having us. I would say Carol is the powerhouse behind all of the things we talk about, Michael.
No argument.
Now, you two have been married now 50 years. For me, that in itself is a testimony. In these days where we hear of all kinds of things, a godly marriage for 50 years. Carol, how did you meet?
Michael was doing a mission at Cape Town University, and I was teaching in Cape Town. But one of the people on the team at the last minute was unable to take part because she got malaria. So they asked me, the person in charge asked me if I would come on the team as well as my teaching. And Michael always says that's a sovereign mosquito. that was the reason why we got together.
And, sovereign mosquito bite, how about that?
A sovereign mosquito bite. God works in marvelous ways.
Yeah.
And it's been 50 years now, and it's been a very busy 50 years.
Yes.
I mean, I mentioned the book the last time. Michael's book, when I read this book, I asked Michael, I said, how did you squeeze all of this thing in? How, especially between 1985 and 1995, how has it been? How have you been able to cope with the busyness of the kind of life you signed up to?
Yeah, I didn't sign up to it. You must remember, 40% of the book had to be cut out.
40%
and
of it.
Yes,
had, so
and
there's
that's
a lot
only
more.
That's only the African ministry. There was a worldwide ministry as well.
Wow!
And you have to be called to this. If you're not called to this work, it's too hard. It's not easy, and it's difficult because. We weren't able to do things together like most people can. There has an element of sacrifice, but if you're called to it, it's not a problem. And you have to sometimes develop your own life. I had a ministry that I developed, and not a very formal ministry. And then, of course, I was looking after the children, and at one stage I had to go and teach to help educate the children. So it was very busy. It was a very busy life, and you just have to keep going.
How did you cope? So I just want to understand what God taught you. If you look back and you say these are the lessons. Of course, you've said one is you found a life, you found expressions for yourself. But a lot of the time was the children growing up. Michael and Carol, you have three children. They're all grown, married. You have 8 grandchildren now. And
yes.
I know they're the love of your life. I saw a picture of Michael being thrown into the pool. You say the grandchildren love to, that's one of their...
They love to do that.
They love to throw their...
Push him
into the... I think we'll get a picture of that on the screen so that people will see. Do they creep over on him just without him knowing?
Well, he acts the part, you know.
But what was it that God taught you? What did you... How was it in the beginning? How did you learn to cope? Just so that we can learn from you, because you must have gotten some lessons from God.
A lot of give and take in marriage. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's more give than take. And I wanted to be an enabler, to enable Michael to do his ministry, which I felt was really important. And so... It wasn't easy. I don't try and minimize the difficulties. And it does mean that we had to learn to understand each other. When he was tired, I couldn't demand things from him. And there's a lot of unselfishness in marriage that has to be exercised. Accommodating to the schedule, to each other's needs. There's work that has to be done in a marriage. And when you've got a lot of demands on it, even more work.
Yeah. And by the way, I talked about this the last time. A lot of stuff that I know about you comes from reading your fine book, which is Michael Cassidy's autobiography, Footprints in the African Sand, His Life, My Life and Times. Now, of course, a lot of it talks about his ministry and all that, but there's a whole segment that talks about the family and where candidly you explain what you felt was your strengths and where you felt you didn't do it well. And I thought it was very honest and right. But I saw that you focused on giving quality times to family times, the holidays, the time with each child. There was a deliberate strategy in that, wasn't there?
Yes, that was a deliberate strategy. And I concluded that, and I'd heard that once people are over 40, and that's what I did, two holidays a year. So I took a reasonable break in July and then a longer break in December, January.
With the whole family.
Yeah, with the whole family. And then Carol and I were careful about getting weekend times together. We would go away to farms or we would have quiet weekends here. That was all very important. And keeping the Sabbath principle. Trying to keep the Sunday a special day, or if I was preaching, there would be one other day to take off, and to give each other time. Maybe we should have given each other more time. When one looks back, it's hard to weigh it up. But we were conscious, conscientious. We didn't just let it all roll over us. Mm. We tried to resist where we were getting it wrong, and then work over it to try and get it right.
And for me, as I look at the story, I would say, and you're free to say if this is correct or not, but the fact that Carol felt right from the beginning that this was her call, that there was a joy aspect of it which must have ministered to the children. Because if she's doing what she's doing, grumbling, even if it's not outwardly, they would know. You know what I mean? Children have a way of reading the atmosphere. And for her to joyously let you go and joyously have you back, and, you know, it creates an atmosphere where everybody in the house feels we're doing a great thing for God. And what do you think, you or her, anyone who wants to comment on that?
One of my worries was that the children would be angry with God because he took their father away. Mm. And I didn't want this to happen. So in no way would I show resentment. Mm. There would be times when it was hard. Mm. And I didn't believe in self-pity. I thought, there's always someone worse off than you. So avoids any pity parties. And we just had to work at not harboring resentments or anything like that.
Mm. And that for me is a testimony to the fact that today all your children are following the Lord, you know, and they're walking with the Lord. And that shows, you know, what you put into them. Because unfortunately, many times preacher kids, they find it difficult to stay in the church. What would you say, and I know it's come out in our conversation, what would you say is the secret of your marriage? 50 years, half a century.
Well, we know where we are in the marriage. Mm. Michael's got his work, and I know what I've got to do. And I don't have expectations from him, as I probably did when we were first married. because our marriage is very different from my parents' marriage. Mm. My father had set roles, which I've now had to take over, do roles that a lot of men do, and a lot of husbands do. But then when there's no husband there, you have to do them. So you just get on with it, and we enjoy it when we get back. It's difficult to make all the decisions when you separate, and separation's not easy. There's loneliness, there's the burden of things breaking down, and just coping with the demands of the children and the discipline of the children. I was saying recently, you know, that I had to be the disciplinarian a lot of the time. And I was the ogre in the family. And Michael was the darling when he came home. But I didn't mind, because I wanted him not to have to cope with too much of that, because he saw the children so infrequently, really.
So it now put the weight of that on you. So, Michael, when you look back, what would you say are the secrets of what... I use the word secret. You know the way we use secret. It's just to say, where do you see, if you look and say, this is where I feel, the points where I feel God, the things he taught us that helped us to come this far.
Well, I think the three secrets of our marriage were number one, Carol, number two, Carol, number three, Carol.
I'm sure anybody watching now would have figured that out.
Because by Lord's incredible grace, I found myself married to an incredible woman.
Wow.
Carol is a most unusual person, because she's got a very steadfast character. She's just one of the most solid and pure and godly and amazing women I've ever met. And she has a very deep devotional life, very, very faithful with her devotions, which she kept going so strongly and always has, to give her an underlying spirituality that could be the kind of a spiritual and emotional engine room, you know, to our marriage. I think the other secret is that we knew we were irrevocably committed to each other. There was no way out. We had taken vows, and that said that we were in this till death us do part. And for whatever circumstances, whether we're rich or poor, in sickness or health, whatever, we were in this for the long haul until the Lord separated us by death. And I think commitment is a very important thing.
Yeah.
And I think one has to try to say to many young people nowadays, you know, build your commitments, make your commitments solid. You know, I think a lot of young people nowadays, they have difficulty with a marital commitment. They have difficulty with a job commitment. They have difficulty with a commitment to friends.
We basically live in a generation that doesn't like commitment.
Yeah, a generation that doesn't go for commitment.
And covenants.
And covenant. And it seems to me that we had that. We had that strong in our relationship. That meant a great deal. I think we were surrounded and blessed by a very wonderful family, not only our own children, but each of our siblings, sisters and brothers. So there's a strong extended family network that surrounds one. And I'm a great believer in that.
Yeah, support base.
Yeah, support base. Mm. Children aren't just supported by the nuclear family of mom and dad. But there are uncles and aunts and there are cousins. And
the African extended family.
Exactly. And that has, I think, been very important for us in our marriage, and one of the real secrets that we were just bonded by so many other relationships all around us. And again, for virtually the most part, all strong marriages around us.
Wow,
yes.
Good examples.
Yeah.
I think what you touched on there is so important in our day, because when you look at the rate of divorce, many times it's linked to the issue of just the misunderstanding of what commitment is.
Yeah.
I normally would say one should see marriage as a house with an entrance but no exit. So you're walking through that door, you look around, there's no more door, window to come after. And that's really what God meant marriage to be. Because when you walk into marriage thinking there's still an exit, there's a possibility maybe there will always be maybe there will always be a reason to try to get out, because it's like the kitchen, the heat comes up and you want to go to somewhere else. But if you stay on and you stay in the heat of the kitchen, a nice meal will be prepared and then we can celebrate 50 years of marriage and children and grandchildren.
We're going to go for a break now. Don't go away. And when we come back, we'll continue this conversation with them. Thank you.
You are listening to Let's Talk, interesting conversations on today's issues. Stay tuned.
Let your light
You are listening to Let's Talk, interesting conversations on today's issues. Stay tuned.
Tell us a bit about your children, Carol.
Well, I have always liked to put the children above nearly everything, even Michael sometimes. And I've been thankful that we've had a stable home. We've not had to move around a lot.
That's been helpful.
Yes. It was hard when they were small. We had no communication like people have now. You know, there were only letters, not even emails. And then faxes came in, and then later...
People today don't understand what we lived in those days.
Yes, there was just no communication.
And you couldn't even phone because it was so expensive to call in those days.
Yeah, quite.
And not satisfactory either.
Yeah.
No, our children have worked hard and done well, and we're very proud of them.
And well done to you and to Michael. Well done. So tell us about them, their names.
Catherine,
and tell us about
is
your
our
grandchildren.
Eldest,
yeah.
And she has married an American, and she lives in Chattanooga. She runs a business, not a business, she runs an organization called Bible in Schools.
Okay.
You know, they don't allow...
Prayers in schools.
No, but they're in certain schools, in certain areas, they're allowed to teach Bible as history. And she is a fundraiser for that.
Wow.
In that area.
The state won't pay for that teacher.
Okay.
But if you find an independent teacher and the salary for them,
they would accept it.
So
wow.
Kathy does.
That's how it works.
So she helps to place these people in those schools so that they can keep teaching the Bible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, that's a wonderful ministry there.
Really?
Yes.
It's your first daughter there.
That's our first.
Taking the baton of ministry from the dad, from two of
you. They have two children.
Okay.
And then our middle daughter has had to lead quite a similar sort of life with her husband who travels.
Okay.
She's traveled while the children were small.
Is the husband a minister too?
No, he's a sports coach.
Oh,
coach.
And so he goes around coaching people.
Yes. But they live in Cape Town. They also keep a stable home where that is home. And she has a ministry of her own in teaching people and running courses for women with others. And she's also written a book about her life and also her life with the Lord. So.
I actually met her once where she came to present at a conference or seminar where I was in.
Oh,
she specifically spoke about the influence of her parents in making her see everybody as the same, her non-racial view of life.
Oh,
and
good.
Wonderful.
Then our son is the last born. And
do they have children? She has children, right?
She has three.
Okay.
Two boys and a daughter.
Okay.
And our son is the last born. They have three. And he is a chemical engineer, but now he works running his father-in-law's factory, which makes rubber products mostly, I suppose, for mines. And they're in Johannesburg, and then he also moves around quite a bit.
So you have all your children and grandchildren far away from you?
Unfortunately, yes. But the one thing is that we get together for holidays.
Oh.
And that is a marvelous catch-up time.
It must be fun holiday.
Michael, you look forward to them.
I really do. In fact, if I hadn't had those holidays, I'd have never survived 50 years in the ministry.
Because
by the time holidays came, I was finished.
And that's where you refilled your pockets.
Yeah, I really did. If I'd had a sort of a one-week holiday, that would never have done it. I needed to have a full at least 3 weeks. And I never apologize about having, you know, a long holiday that really rescued me from, I think, physical and emotional collapse.
and also gave your family a good chance to get as much of Michael as they can get.
Yes.
Tell me, what do you like, or what do you love about Michael, Carol?
I suppose there are many things, but I love his sense of humor. Uh-huh. His passion for seeing people come into a relationship with Jesus and his integrity in that. He has a great ability to relate to every kind of person.
Mm.
And that is wonderful. I've always been thankful for that. And he has an ability to hear God and to act on it too.
Mm.
There have often times I've thought, no, that's a crazy idea. But I learned to keep quiet, because when he hears the Lord and he acts,
something happens.
It usually something happens. And he's humble with it.
Praise
so there are many other things that I love about him.
That's even a lot for one man. I'm feeling jealous already.
Wow.
That's a lot for one man. Yeah. Michael, you must be feeling very good.
That's more than I deserved, I can tell you.
Michael, what do you love about this woman? It's your chance to beat her to it.
Yeah, well, I think just her extraordinary character. And she has a lovely, gracious, gentle personality, but a very, very, very powerful, strong character, and a sweetness that goes with it, and a strength that goes with it. She's a very strong person, I'm thankful for that, because she wouldn't have been able to cope with all that we have had to do together, but for that. And I think her ability to serve other people, to serve her family, to serve her children, and, her sacrificial service to me has been extraordinary. And these last 4 years, when I've had serious health challenges, I have seen this come out. I mean, she is just amazing in remembering, when I need whatever it is, this medication or that medication, or, eye drops or visits to the hospital or the doctor, because I've had some serious illnesses and I've still got them.
Yeah.
But Carol has just shown what it means to, in the wedding vows, when it says, you stick with each other.
Yeah, sickness and health.
And in health.
Wow.
So it's just been, it's loving a total person. Lovely person too to look at, as you can see.
Yeah, I walked into the house, I said, "How did you manage to stay this beautiful after all this year?" She looked at me, not knowing what to say, but I was thinking of all the hard work, all the years, the three children, and she's taking it with grace. And one thing that comes up for me, a lesson, is the fact that you need to marry right. You need to. When it comes to the choice of a partner, you need to marry right, because I can't imagine the kind of blessing this home has brought to the whole world if not that you got the right lady.
You need to pray for your children that they marry right.
Yes.
And for yourself.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Michael said he prayed for 14 years.
The children
to find the right wife and the right person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. But Carol's deep, deep spiritual concern for the children and the grandchildren. It's really profound.
Because all the time you were away, she must have had to keep feeding them, drip feeding the gospel to them.
Absolutely. And all of that, makes one, love a person very deeply for just, I think the quality of sheer goodness in Carol, it's something that continues to hold my love and affection for her in a special way.
I'll be able to live off this for a long time.
No, but it's all true, all so true. Now, I'm having to round this up, and I deliberately didn't go for a break because I didn't want to break up this whole beautiful thing that was going on here. What advice do you, you've given a lot of advice already to marriages out there, but maybe I take this question first. When you look back, what is what some beautiful, to end the conversation, I mean, there's so much more we could go on, is what kind of advice would you give to marriages today, whether they are old or young or whatever, speak from your heart and look into the camera. And
I think it's important to avoid selfishness.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that in the beginning.
And be willing to serve each other. And then not to think of an escape. I've never thought of an escape from marriage. So you work things out and to keep short accounts, as Michael was saying, if there's something bothering you, and not avoid talking about it. Keep communication going. And, well, you can go on.
Yeah, Michael.
Well, I think the development and cultivation of friendship is perhaps the biggest thing, because marriage isn't built primarily on eros and the romantic or sexual side. That has its place. But, you know, most of marriage time is spent in being around each other.
Yeah.
And I think doing things which build and establish friendship is really incredibly important. We try, even though now it's not so easy for me with some of my health challenges, but we try to go for a walk nearly every day.
Okay.
Don't always succeed. But these little walks, when we can go out there and walk hand in hand, and we may not discuss anything very deep, but it's a friendship experience. I like to try and take her out on a date once a week or once every 10 days.
Be willing to serve each other.
We try, even though now it's not so easy for me with some of my health challenges, but we try to go for a walk nearly every day.
Okay.
Don't always succeed. But these little walks, when we can go out there and walk hand in hand, and we may not discuss anything very deep, but it's a friendship experience. I like to try and take her out on a date once a week or once every 10 days. Take time to do things that are just the two of you together. And we say these things to our children. Make sure that you get time in the middle of all of this thing with kids, that you just go out together.
Yeah.
You do something together. You go for a walk together. You even go away for a weekend together. You build friendship, because that's most of life and most of marriage is built on the quality of these friendships.
Yes.
Yeah, not just the first or the brightest.
No.
But the heart.
It has helped marrying a clever man.
Wow, thank you so much, the two of you. Any last words as we round up? Any quick last word? Anything you'd like to say that I didn't ask you?
Just one thing I would say to some who might be watching this program is if your marriage is in trouble, and I suspect that many people looking at this program, you know your marriage is in trouble, I would say seek help. Fix it. Get it right. Realize this is the beloved that God gave you when you got married. You took those vows. They're very, very serious. Seek help. Go to a pastor or a professional counselor and or a psychiatrist. But seek help. Don't let the thing continue to slide. Sometimes one's had to say to people, you know, over long periods of time. For goodness sake, go and get some help.
Yeah.
Because you get in a kind of a tangle and you can't get out of it easily.
Mm-hmm.
So seek help.
Mm-hmm.
It says when Jesus had fed the 5,000, he told the disciples to gather up the fragments that remain. And there were 12 baskets full. Jesus is the Lord of fragments.
Mm-hmm.
He can take a fragment, my beloved friend, husband and wife, as you're watching it. Your whole thing is in fragments. Let me tell you, he's a specialist of fragments, to take the fragments and make a whole new basket full. He's a God of the new economy. And he can take your marriage and he can put it together. And you must believe that. But with his help and with prayer, please, I would beg you, go and seek help and keep your marriage strong, your family life strong, and you won't regret it. Right to the end of your days, you will rejoice and be thankful that you did. God bless you.
Amen.
I would like to say that you should keep close to the Lord.
Mm.
And Jesus is our friend too.
Mm.
We can share anything with him.
Mm.
And we need to pray about our marriages always.
Mm.
That especially if there's some problem, and it's amazing how the Lord actually sorts things out. So I'd say keep close to the Lord in prayer and in Bible reading, and pray together with your spouse.
It's a good one.
Don't let that part of your life be separate.
Separate. That's good. Carol, do you want to end by praying for marriages watching us? Just a quick prayer for whoever might be watching us. We'll all agree with you by saying amen. Just look into that camera and pray for whoever is watching us.
Yes, our Father, we just bring to you those people who are struggling with their marriages.
Yes, Lord.
We just ask that you will guide them now to get help, to open communication, to seek forgiveness, and to offer forgiveness. That they might be soft-hearted towards their spouse, that they may forgive where there have been wrongs and put it behind them and not harbor bitterness or resentment, and that they will go forward and bring good and friendship and love back into their marriages. We thank you that you, Lord Jesus, are there to help us and sustain us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you so much for that prayer. And I've been talking to Carol and Michael Cassidy. And thank you so much for being on this show today. And you've blessed us with your 50 years experience. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you so much.
Thank you so much.
This is where we draw the curtain. Thank you so much.